This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, as we're a week away from our draft profiles for 2025. We look back at last year's class, and obviously we start with last year's number one pick, the guy we just talked about, Nate Wiggins. He was 6'1". 173, ran 4.28 at the combine. He was jersey number two, a junior. He had a 1.59-10, which is kind of slow for a 4.28. 36-inch vertical, 10.7 broad jump, which are good. He had 30.5-inch arms, 9-inch hands. 2021, he played in 11 games as a reserve, 3 tackles, 3 PBUs. 2022, 11 starts, 22 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, 12 PBUs, 1 interception return for a touchdown, 1 block kick. And in 23, his junior year and the year he came out for the draft, he played in 10 games, 7 starts, missed 2 due to injury. Had 25 tackles, 9 PBUs, 2 interceptions, 1 touchdown, 1 sack. He had a 44.4 quarterback rating when targeted. Now, really, he didn't, he had missed time and stuff. So that's probably one of the reasons why he dropped in the draft to the Ravens, because he is a talented corner. He ran 4.28, but he's skinny. Now, his strengths, speed, height, run skill after picks. And we saw that with the Ravens, too. Excellent burst and hands, catch-up speed. Good break on the ball, good in press, uses his hands well, can turn and run, can plant drive, excellent burst. Has some explosiveness. He will tackle. Outstanding burst. Good getting hands on in press. He can mirror wide receivers in press. Long frame. Excellent short area quicks. Good patience in zone. Weakness. Skinny frame, which he definitely did have. Gets high in his pedal. Must play the deep ball better. High in pedal, deep ball. Size hurts versus physical wide receivers. Needs work on pedal plant drive. Raw in technique. Gets too high and on his heels. Shorter arms. Needs to get stronger and finish tackles with his frame. In summary, I said, Nate has elite speed. Good height. Needs to add strength and bulk to hold up in the NFL. He is raw in his pedal. Some plays high, but he shows great burst. Did see little trouble with the deep ball. If he adds weight, can be excellent prospect, can't coach speed. And I think that was him coming out of Clemson. And I think what you saw at the Ravens is a guy that can play on the outside. You saw his speed. The thing that you saw, too, was he likes to grab. He gets grabby, which for a guy that runs 4.28 and has catch-up speed and all those things, he doesn't need to do that, and that's some of the things that he needs to learn fundamentally and get low in his pedal and get quicker out of his plant and drive, because he's got all the skill. And if he could get to 190, which would be good. That'll help his tackling, and it'll help everything else. So, but I think it's all in front of him. He's going to be a starter for the Ravens. It was an excellent pick by Eric. So I think we saw the things that he saw. He was raw in his stuff. We saw rawness. We saw him get better. But I think with Pagano and things, I think he's going to get even better. But he needs to live in a weight room. Will he do those things? Because Clemson's got a weight room. Clemson's got a good program. And he comes out his junior year weighing 173. So get your ass in the weight room and we'll see. Because that's the thing that can take him to the next level.
And we'll get into the Ravens' other needs, possibly talking about the 25 draft with him and Marlon Humphrey. You've got a nice two-man foundation.
Oh, no doubt.
At corner with Brandon Stevens likely moving on. Now that's an area that needs to be addressed. And again, we'll start getting into that next week here. But yeah, I'm with you, Nate Wiggins. Very, very satisfied. Yeah. With that selection.
Yeah, and like you said, Bob, we'll get into next week, like TJ Tampa, you know, because we always talk about TJ Tampa because he missed so much time, like an incomplete grade, you know, basically redshirted. What did we see in him, and then what are the expectations for him?
All right, getting away from the draft real quick, and we'll get to Roger Rosengarten when we get to top of the hour news from the Nest, who was the second pick in the 24 draft, not the second, Ravens' second pick, if people want to start nitpicking here. Saquon Barkley got an extension from Philly.
Yeah.
How does this affect old number 22 in Baltimore?
Here? Well, the money that they gave him, Bob, he got, what's he getting, 20 mil a year?
2 year, 41.2 million makes him the first or the highest paid in NFL history running back. First 20 mil plus a year running back.
Well, as soon as that came out, if I'm Derrick Henry's agent, I'm calling. You know, because Derrick makes 7 or 7.5, whatever it is.
2 years, 16 mil is what he agreed with Baltimore.
Okay, eight mil a year. And he had the great year, you know, and he didn't take him to the Super Bowl, but he was right there with Barkley. I mean, if you're the Ravens, you almost got to.
His total deal with incentives could be worth 20 mil. Henry. Barkley's making 20 mil a year.
Yeah. I mean, that's one that if I'm Derrick Henry, I'm like, I'm not. The agent, I'll guarantee you the agent has reached out to Eric already.
Yeah. Leverage.
Because you know that Derrick Henry is calling his agent. Hey, Bob, did you see what Barkley just got? Did you talk to Eric yet?
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Whip around coming up next. Talk about what happened in the world of sports last night. And historically, an Oriole legend was honored on this day many, many years ago. And we'll talk about the current day Orioles. Jake Rill, MLB.com. Orioles back at it after a day off, taking on the Twins, 105. Grayson Rodriguez on the hill for the Orioles. Grayson Rodriguez has to be a dude this year and for many years to come.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late, 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Come.
Vinny and Haney's Whip.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Favorite female artist or band, send your song request. Plaza Sport text line at 410-583-1057. Bob Havies, Rotto, Nolan McGraw, Maryland tonight. 1.5-point dogs at Michigan. 6:30 tip. Our coverage starts here on The Fan at 5:30. Maryland 22-7, 12-6 in the league. Coming off that nail-biter Saturday against Penn State. Michigan 22-7. 14-4 in the league. They lose at home Sunday afternoon to Illinois 93-73 as the Illini get them in the second half. Maryland's lost 5 straight games, by the way, here in Ann Arbor, but they lost 7 in a row at Penn State and exercise those demons. Let's see if they could duplicate that. We'll preview the game later in the show, about an hour, as a matter of fact, with Maryland legend Walt Williams, so stay tuned for that. Orioles taking on the Twins today. Fort Myers, 105 first pitch. Give you the Orioles lineup later. Jake Rill, bottom of the hour, MLB.com. Talk about the Orioles creeping closer. 22 days away from opening day against Toronto Blue Jays. Insane. It's insanity. It seems like only yesterday they were losing the Royals, but yet here they are trying to redeem themselves. Grayson Rodriguez on the hill. All things go for him, and so far we talked about it yesterday with the rotation. Everyone expected to be in it has looked great. Cade Povich, not expected to be in it. He's looked great. Albert Suarez is traveling with the team. Not so great, but right now his role, it seems to be out of the bullpen. Tag deadline yesterday in the NFL, as we've discussed. Only 2 players were tagged. Lowest amount in, 31 years?
Yeah, since 94. First year of the cap.
In the NBA last night, or college hoops real quick, Big Ten men. Purdue blows out Rutgers 100-71. Thumps them in the second half. Rutgers ranked in the top 25 preseason. Yeah. Have 2 of the top 5 projected picks in the draft. I know they've had injury issues in other circumstances, but Steve Peichel did not work out for him. They get housed. Indiana looked like they were trending upwards. They lose at Oregon, 73-64. Oregon's trending upwards. They've won 6 in a row. Remember, Oregon was ranked in the top 10. Remember, Nolan Maryland was up 13 out at Eugene back in, December, and let that one slip away. That was during the Kevin Willard can't win on the road days, and then they sucked. Now they're hot again. So look out for the Ducks, I guess, in the Big Ten tournament. In double overtime, Ohio State edges the Mayor and the Cornhuskers 116-114. Huge win for the Buckeyes. Devastating loss for Nebraska. Elsewhere, top 25, number 23, Texas A&M bumps off number 1, Auburn, 83-72. So their 5-game winning streak comes to an end, or 6-game anyway. But Texas A&M, that Buzz Williams, he's a good coach, man. He got it done at Marquette. He got it done at Virginia Tech. Now doing it at A&M. Number 23, BYU, in double overtime, beats number 10, Iowa State, 88-85. The Cougars percolating at the right time for sure. And locally in the Patriot League first round, Loyola, the Greyhounds, beat Lehigh 77-73. So congratulations to them as they advance to the next round. NBA, Indiana over Houston, 115-102. Tyrese Halliburton, 28-3-15 for the Pacers. Cam Whitmore, Baltimore's own for the Rockets, 3 points and a board there. Toronto stuns Orlando. Jacoby Walker with a game winner, 114-113. He had 17 points. Emmanuel Quickly, Baltimore's own, at 15-4-4 for the Raptors here. Cleveland over Chicago, 139-117. Donovan Mitchell, great player, 28-7-5 for the Cavs. Jalen Smith, University of Maryland, Baltimore's own, 13 points, 11 boards. Kevin Herter for the Terps, and now Chicago, sat it out with a knee. He's been banged up here last couple of games. It was Phoenix 119-117 over the Clippers. Dramatic game. Kevin Durant, Budenholzer getting into it on the sidelines to the point where it was addressed to the media, and Durant's like, enough. Stop with this bogus storylines you're trying to create. He had 34, by the way. Damian Lee, Calvert Hall for the Suns, did not play. Coach's decision. And the Lakers beat New Orleans 136-115. LeBron James had 34. Luka had 30. Alex Len played 5 minutes.
Oh.
Yeah, he got 5 minutes. It was funny. You're like, what do you think he's going to do? I was like, nothing. He's been paying attention the last 10 years of his career. He's going to sit on a bench, wave a towel, and help in practice. But he played last night. Didn't scratch, though. Had 5 minutes of action. It's a video at 81057 The Fan. It is Woman Crush Wednesday and the Whip Around. Caps tonight, 7:30 puck drop, Madison Square Garden. Taking on the Rangers. Washington coming off the shootout win. Rangers right now, they've won 4 of 5. If the playoffs started today, they'd be in barely.
Yeah, they're in steep competition because Montreal's got 65 points. Ottawa, 65. Detroit, 66. Rangers, 66. You know, in Columbus, 68. So there's a bunch of teams that are right there, and Boston's got 64, where the Caps sit at 86 points. And like you said, Bob, the Rangers, they're 7-3 in their last 10, and they've won 2 in a row. So they've been playing much better hockey. So it's going to be a tough game for the Caps, but it's a game that they need to just come out and play, and they need to score. And then when they get ahead, because the Caps, when they're ahead in the third period, they usually turn out the lights because their goaltending has been great and their defense has been good, and they play good in the third period. So Caps, going to be a tough one tonight, though.
Today's March 5th, this day in sports history, 1988, Cole Fieldhouse, University of Maryland, beat Virginia 69-63, Keith Gatlin, 20 points from Maryland, Brian Williams, who became Bison Dele, unfortunate demise. We don't want to get into that, but he was here for a year, and he was great. He had 17 points, 7 boards. Derek Lewis, 13 points, 7 rebounds himself. 3 McDonald's All-Americans right there, by the way, everybody. 1994, Cole Fieldhouse Terps beat Virginia 70-68. Joe Smith, freshman of the year, at 20 points, 11 rebounds. Dwayne Simpkins, now head coach at American U. He was 11 for 11 from the free throw line. Needed every one of them to hold off the Cavaliers. Keith Booth, Baltimore zone at 15, X-ray hip, 13. Maryland wins. Both of those wins, 88-94, clinched NCAA tournament berths for the University of Maryland. Why was that 94 game so awesome, Nolan? I was there. Me and Brian Fiore. That's right. Cole Fieldhouse. And on this day in 1996, one of the great Orioles of all time got his just due.
You're here, and this crew is here just to f*** us. Yeah.
Boom.
You ain't going nowhere.
You aren't either.
About 5, 10 f***ing years to know who's in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, you're going to be in the Hall of Fame.
You know it.
Why?
You
know it. Up World Series?
Bill Haller, the umpire, Earl Weaver, the manager, talking about his Hall of Fame resume, and Haller's like, what, we're blowing World Series? But on this day in 1996, Earl Weaver was voted into, the Baseball Hall of Fame. Also, Ned Hanlon, who was the manager of the National League Orioles in the late 1800s with Wee Willie Killer, he got in as well. So two Oriole managers, both elected to the Hall of Fame on this day in 1996. This year's Orioles trying to get to the playoffs for the third consecutive year. We'll talk about how they've looked so far. Jake Reel from MLB.com. Funhouse Trip 1145, Nolan McGraw. And then news from the Nets, going to talk about Roger Rosengarten and why he went from, okay, I get it, to, oh boy, he's better than we thought he was. From MLB.com, he is on the Window Nation guest hotline. Covers your Orioles, everyone. Trying to get to the playoffs for the first time in 3 years since 1969 through 71, when the guy that was just cussing during the whip around was the manager, Earl Weaver. He is Jake Rill. Jake, good morning. Thanks for joining us. Been a long time. How you feeling today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
All right, let's talk about some of the banged-up birds, if you don't mind. The latest on Westberg, Kittredge, Gunnar Henderson. What sort of intel did Brandon Hyde or the players themselves give us today?
Yeah, I think the biggest update today was that Jordan Westberg is very close getting back into games. It sounded like it would maybe be today or tomorrow. It's not today. But his back is way better. He told us that he thinks the back soreness actually came from a soft mattress in his Airbnb. He has that resolved now. He has a new mattress topper. He likes to sleep on a hard bed, so his back is feeling better since now that he's getting better night's sleep. And it seems like things are progressing very well and that we could see him tomorrow's game. Kittredge, not a huge update there from him this morning. He's not doing anything yet. He's still just resting, relaxing. Getting treatment on his knee. He said it is feeling some better, but there was some inflammation. Just feels like another spring training type injury where, you know, a guy just doesn't want to push it, wants to be cautious, knows there's still a few weeks to go. But it seems like things could be moving in the right direction with him here in the next few days. And then not a huge update on Gunner yet. Last we heard, he was, you know, turned the corner. Things were feeling a lot better with that right lower side. It would not surprise me if we hear another positive update here a little bit later today. And it would not surprise me if he gets back into game action sometime here in the next week or so.
Now, Jake, we got Grayson going today, 105 against the Twins, Fort Myers. And we know the potential is there. I mean, we can read his resume, you know, number one prospect, pitching prospect for a couple years, 13-game winner last year before everything went haywire for him with the lat and whatnot. So, obviously, so far, so good for him health-wise. But what has he added to his mix in regards to the repertoire outside of the 100-plus fastball and everything else he can do to baffle opposing hitters? Has he added a little bit more to an already impressive arsenal so far?
Yeah, I think the big news there is that he's been working on a sweeper. He's been using it mostly in his bullpen sessions. He brought it out in the game during his first start, only threw it one time, but was very encouraged by the way it felt out of his hand. He got a bad swing against it, so he's very optimistic that could become an out pitch for him. That could be something that just, you know, kind of deepens that arsenal and makes him even stronger now that he could have another breaking offering to get guys to swing and miss at. I also think just another big development with Grayson here this spring is just the ace potential there. And I think this is one of the guys who benefited the most from being around Corbin Burns last year. Obviously got very close to Burns, being around him and seeing him kind of go through his routine. Grayson's trying to kind of model himself after Burns now, you know, wants to go out there, be aggressive, attack hitters, has seen kind of how an ace carries himself and how an ace just, you know, goes through that routine and attacks hitters. So I think Grayson could take a huge step forward this year. And a big reason for that could be because of that experience with Burns last season.
And now, Jake, we know in regards to position battles, a lot of this is already set, but still some spots up for grabs. Ramon Laureano, we know his resume in Oakland, and, you know, he was big in the second half for the Braves last year. Where does he fit in? He right-handed stick, experienced guy, cannon arm, one of the great outfield arms in the league. Is there a spot, perhaps, for Ramon Laureano here in an already crowded Orioles outfield right now?
Yeah, I definitely think he's going to be on the roster. I think he's going to be that fifth outfielder. When we found out that Jorge Mateo wasn't probably going to be ready for opening day, it seems like he's going to start on the injured list. That kind of opened a spot for Laureano. And they really feel like he's a valuable piece to have on the bench just because he can play all three outfield spots, left, center, right. As you mentioned, the arm's incredible. That's probably his biggest asset. But just overall, the whole defensive skill set. He also is a right-handed bat, kind of brings more balance to the bench, more balance to the lineup, could be a guy who you see get in there against lefties. So I think he's an incredibly valuable piece that, you know, could really fit in well on the bench and be used to fill in whenever a guy needs a day off anywhere across the outfield.
Jake Rill covers the Orioles for MLB.com. Vinny and Haney, 105.7. The Fan. Orioles taking on the Minnesota Twins here at 105 in Fort Myers. Jackson Holliday defensively comparing today to where he was a year ago at this time, trying to learn literally a new position for him anyway.
Yeah, he looks so much more comfortable. It's kind of night and day, the difference. Last year, you know, he was still kind of feeling it out over there, played shortstop his whole life. Obviously, having Brian Roberts here as a guest coach, not just this year, but also last year. And, you know, that there's a guy who successfully moved from shortstop to second base early in his career. I think that's extremely valuable that Jackson's been able to kind of pick his brain. Roberts had some good advice for him on some footwork. He was getting crossed up a little bit on his footwork on double play turns. You know, kind of still looked more like a shortstop, but he's been working on that over the last couple weeks. He's gotten a lot better there. And, you know, it's extremely difficult to learn a position on the fly, kind of like Jackson was doing last year. And he was able to do it just because this kid is so impressive and he has such a great skill set. But now that he has all those reps and he's gotten more comfortable there, I think he's poised to be a really good second baseman for the Orioles this year.
Hey, Jake, from what you've seen thus far, what number one, what do you like and what concerns do you have thus far?
About the team overall?
Or yes.
About Jackson?
No, about the team, overall. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the biggest positive is just kind of the vibes down here. It seems like, you know, there's been, you always want to avoid drama during spring training. You know, some teams do that more successfully than others. And this is a team that, you know, there hasn't been any controversy. There's not any drama. The vibes are good. Teams kind of gelling together well. It seems like kind of a continuation of these past 2 years. Obviously, they want to make a deeper playoff run, and they still have a sour taste in their mouths from last year and the year before. But it sure seems like this is a motivated, confident group. Also, the health. I mean, I know there's some guys banged up in terms of Westberg and Gunner, but, you know, those aren't long-term injuries. So I think that's a positive that, you know, this team's overall, for the most part, healthy.
Jake Rill covers the Orioles for MLB.com down in Florida. Orioles taking on the Twins, Fort Myers. Jake, appreciate the time as always. If we don't talk to you before opening day, enjoy the rest of your spring, and we will catch up soon, whether you like it or not. How's that sound?
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
All right. Here's Jake Rill, everyone. It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Come back, reset for you. Got news from the Nest, top of the hour. Ravens killer last couple of years. He's looking for a new job. We'll tell you who that is next. Give you the Orioles Twins lineups, and replay Kevin Willard, who was on the show yesterday, previewing this one between two ranked teams. Ann Arbor, 6:30 tip. You can hear the game on the Fan. Gardner Minshew, remember him? He's gone.
That's good for the Ravens.
Yeah, well, depending where he signs. He signs with Cleveland. At least pencil one of those games in as a loss for Baltimore. Raiders expected to release Ryan McFadden. Hey, that's our dude, isn't it? Ryan McFadden from the Baltimore Sun? Hey, ESPN now. Expected to release Gardner Minshew. Free agency begins. 2 year, $25 million last year, $15 million guaranteed. Cap hit of $14 million.
Oof.
In 25. Let's see, has $3.16 million of guaranteed money left on the deal. Raiders would save $9.3 million by making him a post-June 1st cut.
I tell you what, Bob, for who he is and what he's been, he's made himself a pretty good living financially, you know, for being, you know, a pop-up starter and, you know, backup. So I don't, you know, the Raiders want to move on. I mean, Brady, they want Pete Carroll. They want to do their own thing.
Yeah, the Aiden O'Connell,
gone,
Gardner
yeah.
Minshew thing. It's not in that division now.
Oh.
You're not livable in that one. And Sam Hubbard retires. Cincinnati, we remember him for the fumble recovery touchdown against the Ravens in the playoffs a couple of years ago.
So their defense takes another hit.
7 seasons injury plagued. He's shutting her down.
Yeah, and you know what happens is, Bob, is you just tired of rehabbing all the time, tired of going to the training. That's what happened to me in college, same type thing. I mean, like, tore my knee, I broke my ribs, I had, you know, I had a bruised kidney, you know, all this stuff, and it's just like, you know, I mean, you're just tired of being best friends with the trainer. That's the biggest thing, and you know, you're by yourself all the time. You don't get to hang out with your teammates as much, and it's not fun anymore. That's the problem. It's just not fun.
Well, speaking of fun, let's bring Nolan McGraw in. Nolan, what's happening over there on this Woman Crush Wednesday?
Doing pretty good. It's crunch time for college basketball. 2 games left in the regular season for the Terps. They're trying to stay in that top 4 in the Big Ten so they get the double bye in next week's tournament. But I'm starting to look at these standings, and to me, it could be corrected here, but I think they got to win both of these games to stay in the top 4. I mean, you look at Wisconsin, who's right behind them, or really tied with them in terms of conference record. Sure, Maryland has the head-to-head, but, I mean, Wisconsin's taking on Minnesota and Penn State. I mean, those are two bottom feeder in Penn State.
Winnable games,
right,
shall we say.
Yeah, should be heavily favored. After Purdue's dominance last night, they have the head-to-head over Maryland, and they're a game ahead. So, I mean, it's kind of that fourth spot, or you're outside, on the outside looking in. And look, a couple weeks ago, I saw Michigan State, saw Michigan coming up on the schedule, said it'd be nice to split. I'd feel good if they split those 2 games and obviously take care of business against weaker teams. I thought they'd win the home one. Now your back's against the wall here. Got to win it on the road.
And keep in mind, in the Big Ten tournament, which now has, what, 18 teams, the last 3 don't even get in.
Mm-hmm.
Double bye means you don't play till Friday. So if Maryland finishes fifth, for instance, they would play Thursday. Time to be determined. But a win tonight, a win Northwestern, obviously helps their cause. It might even elevate them, Nolan, to the number two seed when it's all said and done, too.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, outside shot. I mean, look at what? It would depend on Purdue that plays Illinois. That's on the road, too. They could certainly lose that one. But again, Maryland would have to win both games. And Michigan, they're motivated, obviously, tonight. But then, you know, coming up a rematch with Michigan State. So a tough road for them, but they seem securely in that top four.
Well, we talked about it during the whip. The scary team now in the Big Ten is Oregon. They won six in a row. They're at Washington coming up here to wrap up the regular season. Let's not sleep on the Ducks, quack, quack, here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. We got time for Funhouse?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First one on the Ravens. Texter says, I heard the Wiggins evaluation. Do the Ravens truly not regret taking Cooper DeJean over him? It's not like Wiggins was a liability,
but
I look at Philly and see a kid who made an instant big impact, not just the Super Bowl pick six. He was great all year.
Well, the reason, I mean, and the Ravens were seriously considering taking DeJean, and it came down to DeJean or Wiggins, and the Ravens wanted an outside corner. They needed an outside corner more than they needed a nickel, because who's their nickel? Marlon. And DeJean, for them, played inside. Why? Because DeJean's speed is not what an outside corner needs to be. DeJean's a hell of a football player. Plus, he can return punts. But it was just about position need. The Ravens loved the kid, but they needed an outside corner, and they didn't think DeJean could play outside corner.
And the Eagles even took Quinyon Mitchell before DeJean. That was their first-round guy. Didn't get DeJean until the second. Let's see, moving on here. A little Orioles. Heston Kerstad, what's his role going to be? This texter here says, really, to me, he's only a DH. Awful on defense, a little too slow. Watched him many times in Bowie over the past couple years. Just looks lost in right field at times.
He's not fluid like a Brady Anderson was with the glove out there, for sure. But it's getting better. He's not Mountcastle. You talk about a guy tracking live hand grenades. That was Mountie. He was drafted as a shortstop. But if he does become the DH guy, and he's going to get plenty of opportunities in the outfield because he's still relatively young, that 30-35 homer power plays, you'll find a way to keep that bat in the lineup for sure. So it's a big year for Kerstad, though. He's not a young rookie-level guy. He's 27 years old. So it might be time to show that he does belong when it's all said and done.
One last one on the Terps. This texter says, it feels like a night where the Terps only win if Gillespie, Rice, and Miguel are on point with the threes. The big men could still be a factor, but I feel like they'll cancel each other out going up against Michigan's duo.
Well, you would think, in theory, that would be the case, but the kid Danny Wolf, he kind of passes a little bit out of the post. He's like a facilitator, averages almost 4 assists per game. They turn the ball over a lot. They're not the greatest three-point shooting team either. I mean, this could be, say they wash the big men, and it'd be nice to for Reese to step up tonight. But if that's the advantage, Maryland, I like Maryland's guards over Michigan's for sure. Road game notwithstanding. It's Vinny and Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. News from the Nest. Buy or sell. Where's the midweek money? Hopefully we're counting some. And we'll preview Maryland and Michigan with the Wizard, Walt Williams, Maryland legend. Jason Cole's going to join us for some NFL lunch. And then we'll give you the Orioles and Twins lineup as well. Grace Rodriguez on the Hill, 105 First Pitch, Fort Myers.